Now we're holding the top of Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. We left off yesterday. We had the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah that a man commits znus with his mother, who also was or is his father's wife. Then the Tanna Kamma had said that he's chayev on two grounds, because she's his mother and because she's his father's wife. If his father's alive, then additionally she's also an Eishes Ish, but we weren't addressing that point. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that he's only chayev on the grounds that she's his mother. And we were discussing where he gets that from. So we had Abaye saying he learns it from the words imcha he in the pasuk, but the Gemara had asked about that in that case we have another pasuk, the following pasuk that says eres avicha he, and wouldn't that mean that you have two miyotim and they contradict one another, as we talked about yesterday? So in the end, Rava had said that no, Rabbi Yehuda is saying from Imcha he, we do in fact learn the miut that he's only chayev on one grounds, the fact that she's his mother. The fact that you have the pasuk Eres Avicha he is teaching us a different point, b'chlal, that it refers to his father's wife. That in fact, that when a man is mezana with his father's wife, who's not his mother, that she is considered, even though his father is dead, then it's still considered his father's wife, and therefore that's aser. So now the Gemara is going to bring a braisa that bears out Rava's explanation of how Rabbi Yehuda learns it, and in the course of it, we're going to learn Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of the relevant psukim. So Tanya Kavasei de Rava. We learn a braisa like the way Rava explained Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Now the braisa is not actually going to name Rabbi Yehuda, but it comes from Sifra. It comes from the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra, also called Toras Koinim. And later in the Masechta, it says that Stam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda. That any just the same way as any the same way as Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, the same way as Stam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda. So if we find a braisa over there without the author specified, then we know it represents Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And the braisa goes as follows. Again, it's going to go phrase by phrase, darshining the pasuk. The whole pasuk goes, "V'isha sheyishkav es eishes aviv." A man lies with his father's wife. Eras aviv gila. He's uncovered his father's nakedness. Moisu masu shnehem. Both of them are to be put to death. Dmehem bam. Their blood is on them. Which we learned yesterday that the moisu masu teaches us if once Beis Din has judged them guilty, then they can, if they can't kill them with the proper misa of skila, then they can do whatever they need to in order to kill them. And the dmehem bam, we said that was the gzeira shava from which we learned the chayiv skila. So let's look at the braisa is going to mention that point, but the braisa is first going to go through the rest of the pasuk and darshan it phrase by phrase. So again, when it starts off ish, prat lakotten, then like we learned before, that means to exclude a cotton. So a cotton above nine, if he's below 9 years old, is bia, is not considered bia in halacha anyway. So if he's above nine but below bar mitzvah, if he's mezana with his father's wife, then she would be chayiv misa if it was bemezid, but he would not because he's underage. And again, as we learned yesterday, the chiddush of that might be the very fact that she is chayiv misa. You would think maybe that means he's chayiv misa as well. Another point might be when we get into the dinim of bnei noach in the next couple of dafim. By bnei noach, you don't necessarily have that concept of above and below bar or bas mitzvah. So maybe you would think here also. So therefore, the pasuk needs to tell us that no, underage, you can't punish him. Next, then the pasuk continues. It says that he lies with his father's wife. So mashma bein eishes aviv shehi imo bein eishes aviv sheloi imo. So that would mean that. So that would seem to imply that it applies whether it's his father's wife who is also his mother or whether it's not, whether it's a stepmother. And you would say so imo shaloi sheina eishes aviv minayin. How do we know that the same din applies even if it's his mother but not his father's wife? So they were never married in the first place. Tamad loyma eras aviv gila. Therefore, the pasuk says he's uncovered the nakedness of his father. Now, therefore, says the Braisa, which again, this Braisa, Stam Sifra, Rabbi Yehuda, says, Mufna, those words, Eras Aviv Gila, are extra in the Pasuk. Once we say that it's Eishes Aviv, it doesn't need to repeat, Eras Aviv Gila, so therefore, Lahakish, for Lodin Mimenu, Gzeda Shava. So therefore, that word is that phrase is available in order to learn from an Gzeda Shava. Which the bread further on, we're going to explain what the Gzeira Shava is. But the point is, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be using those words, Ervas Aviv, not to refer to, now we touched on yesterday, and we're going to explain further in the Gemara today, Bez Hashem, that according to the Chachamim, Ervas Aviv Gila is actually referring to have, it was actually committed, is actually referring to having relations, doing Mishkav Zachar with his own father. And the point being that then he's Chayev, if it was his own father, then he's Chayev twice for it, two Chatois. If it was B'shoigig, once for the fact that it's a male, and once that it's his father. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're saying that no, Eres Aviv Gila is in fact referring to his father's wife, but we're using it for a Gzeira Shava, that we're going to use it for a Gzeira Shava that we're going to talk about soon, in the Braisa, that clarifies for us that when his mother is not his father's wife, never was his father's wife, because to begin with the father was Ma'anis her or whatever, that nevertheless the same Isser of Imoy applies. Next, the Braisa continues. So the Braisa continues when it says Mosu Mosu Beskila. When it says they're put to death, means Skila. Ata Oyma Beskila Ena Ela Ba'achas Mekom Misses Hamuris Batora. How do you know Skila? Maybe it means one of the other misses based in. Therefore, we have a different Gzeira Shava. Nemakai, as we learned before, Nemakai Dmehem Bum, Venema Lahalan, Venema, but over Yud Oni, Dmehem Bum. By here, it says Dmehem Bum, by over Yud Oni. It also says the last Pasuk of Parashas Kedoshim also says Dmehem Bum, and there it clearly says Skila, Malahalan Beskila, Afkan Beskila. So just like over there, they get Skila, so it is over here as well. Continues the Braisa. Now, thus far, we've been darshaning the Pasuk, the Isha Sheyishkav Es Eishes Aviv. Now, that's the Pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim, which talks about the punishment. In general, like we talked about yesterday, the Arayas are listed in Parashas Achrimos, and then the punishments for them are listed in Parashas Kedoshim. So here we have the Pasuk that talks about the punishment. So the Braisa says, Oina Shamainu. So from that, we found the punishment that if he commits adultery with his father's wife, or with his mother, then he's Chayev Skila. Azhoraminayin. Where is the warning in the Torah? We have a general rule in Torah, Ein Oinshin Elohim Kein Mazhirin. You can't give a person a punishment unless there's a warning someplace, don't do this. Talmud Loma, therefore you have the Pasuk in Parashas Achrimos, Ervas Avichol Oisigalai, where it says, don't uncover the nakedness of your father, Ervas Avichol Zu Eishes Avichol, where Ervas Avichol, according to Rabbi Yehuda in this Braisa, means your father's wife, not your actual father. Then the Braisa continues, Ata Oima Eishes Avichol. Now you're saying that it means the father's wife, Einela Ervas Avichol Mamash. Maybe it means the father's actual Erva, like the Chachamim are going to say further down the Omud, meaning, in other words, that in that case, that if he were to do Mishkav Zachor with his father, he'd be Chayev twice. Here is the Gzeira Shava that the Braisa had referred to earlier. Nemakan Ervas Avichol Oisigalev, and Nemalahalan Ervas Aviv Gila, in Achrimos and in Kedoshim, it uses the expression Ervas Avichol Oisigalev, and Ervas Aviv Gila. So we learn by Gzeira Shava, Malahalan B'ishus HaKosim Medaber. So just like in Parashas Kedoshim, it's referring to his father's wife, because the pasuk clearly says as Eishes Aviv, Afkan be'ishus HaKosim Medaber, the same way here the pasuk is talking about a relationship through marriage and not the father himself. Then the Braisa continues, Ainly Elabaz Hora. Now, so you would only know then that So now we mentioned in the Braisa before the idea that he's going to be Chayev even if his mother is not his father's wife. So we mentioned that, but we didn't delve into where we're getting that from. Now the Braisa deals with that part of it. Ainly Elabaz Hora. So you would only know so far when it comes to the warning that he's also to have relations with his mother even if she's not his father's wife. Where we see that the mother, whether she's his father's wife or not, is all treated the same. So we see that in the Pasuk in Parashas Achrimos, because the Pasuk says, Ervas Imcha Loisigale. So Ainli Elabaz Hora Sha'osa hakos of imoy she'ena eshes aviv ki'imo she'eshes aviv, whereby the azhara, by the warning in Achrimos, the Torah is equating his mother who was never his father's wife with his mother who was his father's wife. Onesh minayin, how do we know the same thing as far as the punishment, as far as skila, that the same din applies whether she was his father's wife or not? So therefore, so now we have another gzeira shava. Nema kan erva savicha le'segalei. Oh, actually, it's the same. It's the same gzeira shava. Nema lahal nema kan erva savicha le'segalei v'nema lahalan erva aviv gila. Where in both psukim, the pasuk uses the expression ervas aviv gila. Ma ba'azhara osa akos of imay she'ena eshes aviv ki imay she'eshes aviv. So just like in the warning in Achrimos, the Torah equates his mother, whether she's his father's wife or not, because they have two psukim over there, one referring to his mother and one referring to his mother and one referring to his father's wife. Af ba'onesh osa akos of imay she'ena eshes aviv ki imay she'eshes aviv. The same way when it comes to the penalty to skila. The same thing applies whether she was his father's wife or not. So we see from this whole braisa that Rabbi Yehuda indeed is not using the word ervas of avicha to be a miut, to mean that it applies only to only when she was his father's wife, but rather or to say that he should be punishable only on those grounds. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda is using that for a different purpose for gzeira shava. So that bears out Rava's point that when you have the two things in the psukim imchahi and ervas avicha hi, one of them imchahi is meant as a miut, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that if she was his mother and his father's wife, he's chayav only for the one ground that she was his mother, from the word imchahi, and ervas avicha, he will be using for a different purpose for this gzeira shava to learn about that, to learn that he's chayav whether for his mother, whether she was his father's wife or not, and for his father's wife, whether she's his mother or not. Okay. The braisa continues when the pasuk says imchahi. So when the pasuk continues, she is your mother. That's what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is. Mishum imay at machayve, you machayev him only on grounds that he's his mother, that she's his mother. V'at machayev mishum eshesav, but not on the grounds that also she's his father's wife. Which again is what Rabbi Yehuda had said in the Mishnah, and what we learned yesterday that there was a braisa where Rabbi Yehuda said the same thing. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So that whole braisa again represents Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and therefore it's clear that in fact Rabbi Yehuda darshens it that way, and therefore, like Rava had said, he's using the words ervas avichahi to teach us a different concept. But rather and imchahi. So imchahi is telling us that that where she is both his father's wife and his mother, then you should know the pasuk is saying imchahi. The fact is because she's your mother, and therefore we learn from that that there's only one chiyuv for his mother. Which again, meaning if that was b'shoigig, he would bring only one chatas according to Rabbi Yehuda and not two. Okay. The question now is Rabbanan. Now, according to the Chachamim, what are they doing with what are they do now? Now the Chachamim had disagreed and said that if it was his father's wife and his mother, then he's chayev on both grounds. So why aren't they using the word imchahi for that kind of miut? So the answer is because part of the whole thing was that Rabbi Yehuda had to understand that the words ervas avichahi are being used for gzeira shava to teach us about his father's wife, and therefore based on that Rabbi Yehuda had continued that once we've established that he's chayev for his once we've established from those psukim that he's chayev for his that he's chayev for his father's wife and that he's chayav for his father's wife, and specifically be'isu ishus akosim medaber. We're talking about when she was his wife. And then also we continued to say the gzeira shava is also used to teach us that his mother, he's chayav on znus with his mother, whether it was his father's wife or not. That was the Rabbi Yehuda's whole chain of discussion over here. Well, the Chachamim break that by saying erva savicha mamash. The Chachamim say the words erva savicha means his father was actual erva, means that he commits mishkav zocho with his father. So therefore, so the pasuk is b'chalal not talking about. So the pasuk ervas avicha is b'chalal not talking about his father's wife. So therefore, imchahi is. So therefore, imchahi is not from the previous pasuk is also not talking. So in other words, when the pasuk starts off ervas avicha, the ervas imcha loisegalei. So Rabbi Yehuda had understood ervas avicha to mean your father's wife, and ervas imcha to mean your mother. And then he daushin imchahi means that in that case, where she's both, then it's only your chayav only because of he's chayav only because of imchahi. But now the Chacham say no to begin with. Eres Avicha means his father himself, Mishkav Zachar with his father. Therefore, Imchahi is referring only to the mother. And therefore, Imchahi at the end of the pasuk is not being memayit anything, because anyway, we're talking only about his mother. So they're not using the word Imchahi for that Jerusha. Therefore they can say that in fact he's Chayev for both of them. What he's doing with the word Imchahi, we're going to have at the end of the sugya. We're going to have the drasha of Rav Shisha Breder of Idi that we touched on yesterday. Well, the Gemara asks, why do you need a particular Isser for Mishkav Zachar with his father? Haim Rives Zachar Nafka. We learn, anyway, the Pasuk says that a man is not allowed to commit Mishkav Zachar with another man. His father is another man, so automatically he's Chayev. And the answer is L'chayev Olav Shtayim. The answer is that if it was his father, he's in fact Chayev two Chatois. The Chidr of Yehuda, as Rabbi Yehuda explains, the Amr of Yehuda, Nochri Habal Aviv, if a Goy has relations with his father, and we're going to talk about in a second, what do you mean a Goy? Chayev Shtayim, then he's Chayev two Chatois, one because of the general rule against Mishkav Zachar, and the second one because it's his father. Similarly, continues the Braisa, Habal Achiyov, similarly, if this person were to have relations with his father's brother, his uncle, also Chayev Shtayim, he would also be Chayev two times, because by a father's brother also, the Pasuk says, Ervas Achiyov Vichaloy Segalay. So the Pasuk continues over there, El Ishtoy Le Sikrav Deidos Chahi, don't come close to his wife, because she's your aunt. What we learn from the fact that it starts by saying, so again, the Braisa is saying, because it's, according to the Chachamim, because it starts by saying, Ervas Achia Vicha Lo Segalai, then it means a separate issue as well for his uncle, for Mishkav Zachar. Well, what does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he mentions a Goy does that? A Goy doesn't bring a Chatas for doing such an Avera. Omar Rava, Mistabra, Milsa, did Rabbi Yehuda be Yisrael over Shoigig? Mistabra, Milsa, did Rabbi Yehuda be Yisrael, but Shoigig over Korban? It's logical to understand that what Rabbi Yehuda means when he says a goy, he actually means a Yisrael who did such a thing, but Shoigig, and we're talking about how many korbanos he would have to bring. The reason why he uses a goy, lishna malya, he wants to use a nicer lashon. He doesn't want to mention the concept of a yid doing such a disgusting thing, and therefore he uses the expression of goy. But it can't really be a goy, because the sakadach nochri mamash, if you're talking about a goy, dine mainu, then what would be his punishment? Ketola, he would be executed, because as we're going to learn later on in the parak about Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach, this is one of the things that's also to B'nei Noach as well. So what do you mean? It can't anyway. Betray Kapli, Kaplis Lay. Are you going to kill him twice? No, of course not. So, and it doesn't even matter Shoigig or Mezid, because by a Goy, as we're going to learn with Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach later in the Perek, Shoigig would be by a Goy only in very limited circumstances, namely, for example, that he didn't know that this was his, that he didn't know B'chlal that this was his father, but he didn't know that it's also then, by then we say ignorance of the law is no excuse, and he's still Chayiv Misa. So therefore, by him, he'd be Chayiv Misa anyway, and you can't kill him twice. So if Rabbi Yehuda is mentioning such a case, he must actually be referring to a yid, but he doesn't want to mention, it would be so very distasteful to mention that about a yid, and therefore he uses the word nochri. So again, according to the Chachamim, that's how it is. According to the Chachamim, that the words Eres Avicha Loi Segalai refer to Mishkav Zachar with his father, and that there's a separate Isser on that. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, Eres Avicha is referring to your father's wife, and saying that when she's also your mother, then there's a double chiyuv involved. So the Gemara continues, Tanya Nami Hochia, we learn similarly in a Braisa, Habal, as far as this Machloikas, about what Ervas Avicha, about what Ervas Avicha Lo Segale means, Habal Oviv Chayev Shtayim, a person commits Mishkav Zachar with his father, he's Chayev twice, Habal Achi Oviv Chayev Shtayim, and if he does that with his uncle, he's also Chayev twice. So now, is this Braisa? So one possibility is Ika Damri Deloike Rabbi Yehuda. One possibility is that this Braisa is not according to Rabbi Yehuda, because we just said according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ervas Avicha Loi Segale does not refer to the father, but rather to the father's wife. So according to him, then we might well say that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that he's chayiv only one chatas. whether he would say the same thing as far as the father's brother. That's the discussion about that, whether maybe when it comes to the father's brother, is he using the words in the same way to say that it refers to his father, to his father's brother's wife, where they were not using it for gzeira shava. So would he still say that over there it means specifically the father's brother himself, or would he say that in that case, in fact, it does mean the father's brother, and at least he'd agree to that then? So the Knesset HaGdolah discusses that point and says that maybe Rabbi Yehuda would disagree only as far as the father. Anyway, so one possibility is this Braisa is not according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Ikadamri, I feel the tamer Rabbi Yehuda. The other possibility is maybe the Braisa would even be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe in fact, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that he is chayev a second chatas for committing Mishkav Zachar with his father, but he wouldn't learn it from the words erva savicha lo segale, because again he's using that word erva savicha lo segale to teach us a different din, to teach for gzeira shava, but rather we would say mikavachoyim me'achi oviv. We would learn it, yeah, because once he agrees that achi oviv he is chayev twice, then we would say we could learn a kavachoyim from that. To say that the same thing would apply to his that the same thing would apply to his father himself, and the Kal V'Chomer would be Uma Achi Oviv de Kurva de Oviv Hu. After all, on what grounds is he chayev? On what grounds is he chayev something extra for Mishkav Zachar with his father's brother? Is only because it's only a second level relationship. After all, it's his father's relative, chayev Shtayim, and you're still saying that he would be chayev two chatois for it. Oviv, like Koshkein, how much more so his own father. So therefore, so according to that way of looking at it, Rabbi Yehuda might well agree with the din. He would just derive it in a different way. Instead of deriving it from Erva Savicha Lo Segale, he would derive it from this Kavachoymer. Which, in that case, these Amiroyim, the two different ways of understanding the Braisa, are arguing, Beplugta Da Baya V'Rava, they would be arguing within the same machlokas of Abaya and Rava. Now, later on in the Masechta, we're going to discuss the question of whether we talked about yesterday the concept Ein Onshin Min Adin. You can't punish somebody based on a Kal V'Chomer, but is that universally agreed to? There was in fact a machlokas Abaya and Rava in it later on in the Masechta. Mar Sovra Onshin Min Adin. So the one opinion holds that the second opinion that we said holds that yes, you could you that 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 at least according that who want to make the Braisa work according to the Behuda as well, they would hold Onshin Min Adin. It is possible to give a punishment based on a Kal V'Chomer. So therefore we can make the Kal V'Chomer over here. Madach, his uncle, he would be chayev twice, once for the fact that it's his uncle and once for the fact that it's a Zohar. The same, how much more so with his father, which is a closer relationship, and that would be enough to be Mechayev him two Korbanos. Omar Sava, Ancient Min Adin, whereas the other opinion holds that no, you can't do that. You can't use a Kal V'Chomer for a punishment and bring a Korban. Now, usually Ancient would mean a punishment of Misa or Malkus, but here the Aruch HaNer points out, evidently from this Gemara, we see that also bringing a Korban would also be considered, would be considered an Oynish as well. With that said, there was some discussion about that among Achronim, whether maybe it's true that in this case the Nafka Mina is a korban, but maybe after all the question is does there exist an Isser separately? So let's say for example we have a different mitzvah where we know the Isser exists as a separate Isser, and the question is just you have to bring a korban. Maybe then we would say that you could bring a korban based on a Kal V'Chomer. Maybe here it's just where we're trying to establish in the first place, is there even a separate mitzvah of Mishkav Zachar with his father. In any case, so here we're saying now later on in the Masechta we're going to have Abaya and Rava arguing on that. So the two opinions of how to understand our last Braisa over here, whether it can follow Rabbi Yehuda or not, would reflect those two opinions. Aruch HaNer also goes on and discusses that. Wait a minute, it's not so much that Abaya holds Onshin Min Adin. He says that the context where the Gemara discusses this later is the question a man and his daughter, where it doesn't actually say it explicitly in the Torah, Ervas Bitcha Lo Segale. So how do we know that it's also, and how do we know that there's a punishment? So later on in the ninth parak of our Masechta, at the beginning of it, Abaye is going to be learning from a Kal V'Chomer, but it's not really a Kal V'Chomer so much as a Gili Milsa Ba'alma, that once the Torah says his granddaughter is also to him, then automatically we realize from that his daughter is also as well, and the Torah Torah just didn't bother specifying it because it's so obvious. So it's not really that he says Oinshin min adin. So the Aruch HaNer discusses that over here, whether in fact, how can we say that there is an opinion of that Oinshin min adin when even Abaye over there was not really saying that. And he explains differently that the Gemara in fact is not that the Gemara is what the Gemara is saying is that according to Abaye, this kind of case you could have Oinshin min adin because after all because again after all we're talking over here only about a korban. We're talking about it here only about a korban, and we're saying that the same way as Abaye says over there, look, why is your granddaughter osir? Because she's your daughter's daughter, so therefore, all the more so, your daughter is osir. So we see that Abaye accepts the concept of Oinshin min adin to that limited extent when we're talking about 2 degrees of relationship, and the same thing over here, we're also talking about 2 different degrees, two degrees of relationship that depend on one another. An uncle depends on the father, and therefore that would be, so therefore we could say that in that case, we would say Oinshin min adin. But it's true, a buyer would not hold that normally in a case where it's not like that, that we should be able to say a kal v'chomer would be reason enough for a punishment. No, but in this unique case, he would say that maybe yes. Fine. So we see therefore that the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda argue on this point what Ervas Avicha Loisa Gale means, and therefore according to Rabbi Yehuda there would be only possibly according to Rabbi Yehuda there would be only one Chiyuv, or even if he says there's two, then it would be the second one would be learning from a Kal v'chomer. Well, the Gemara says, "V'rabbanan azhora la'ishes aviv minalahu." Now, we've been saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he learns the iser of his father's wife. He learns from the words "ervas avicha," because again, he learns that "ervas avicha" doesn't mean your father himself; it means your father's wife. Well, according to the Chachamim, where are we learning an azhora, an oinish for the father's wife? Sure, we have that in Parshas Kedoshim. But again, ein oinshin elam ken mazirin. To punish, there has to have been a warning ahead of time. Where is there the warning for a man not to have relations with his father's wife who's not his mother? So Manolahu, where so Azhora Laishas of Manolahu. And the answer is Nafkalahu, Me'eris Aishas of Ichaloisagale. They learn it from the fact the next pasuk says that don't uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. Well, for Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with that pasuk? The answer is Ahumi Bayla Azhora Laishas of Achamisa. He says, fine, we need that pasuk to teach us that she's still also to him even after his father dies. Otherwise, you would think, fine, as long as she's married to his father, or fine, if his father divorced her or something, maybe she's also, but maybe when his father died, he would be mutter. So you need that second pasuk to tell us that not. V'rabbanan, and the Chacham would answer to that, Hahum is sefer dekra nafka. They learn that from the end of the pasuk. Ervas avicha hi. She is the nakedness of your father. V'Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda answers back, so we're learning, first of all, from the fact that it says Ervas avicha hi, or specifically, maybe we're learning from the fact that it says he, which implies that she still retains her status of Ervas avicha as she was before, even though now avicha is no longer living. V'Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda answers back. He says, "Ahumi boile mishum eishes av at mechayve v'yat mechayve mishum eishes ish." That he learns for a different point. He uses that to learn the same way as he said in the Mishnah about his mother, who's his father's wife. That if the son commits his nus with her, he's chayev only on the grounds that she's his mother, not the fact that also she's his father's wife. Rabbi Yehuda says the same way. If this woman is still married to his father. And again, she's not his mother, she's his stepmother, that if he's mezana with her, he would be chayev, Rabbi Yehuda says, only on the grounds that she's his father's wife, and not additionally the fact that she's an eishes ish, even though she is, Rabbi Yehuda is learning that from those words, ervas avichahi. Well, what do you mean? Vahanantnan, what do you mean? We learned in the Mishnah exactly that case. Habal eishes av, he has relations with his father's wife. Chayev alea mishum eishes av or mishum eishes ish. He's chayev on 2 grounds, because she's his father's wife and because she's a married woman, because his father is still married to her. Veloy polig, and that applies bein b'chaye oviv, bein la'achamises oviv. Whether his father was alive or even after his father died, v'loy polig Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda is not disagreeing with that. So what are you telling me that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says he'd be chayiv on only 1 ground? The answer is polig bebraisa. The answer is Rabbi Yehuda, Abaye says, in fact, he does argue in a braisa. There was a braisa to sefta on Or Masechta where Rabbi Yehuda does spell out and says that yes, he argues in that case as well and says that he's chayev only for Eishes Oviv and not for Eishes Ish. So yeah, the same way as Rabbi Yehuda says, the same way as Rabbi Yehuda uses the words imchahi to say that he's chayev only she's his mother and not for the fact that she's his father's wife. The same way when it's his father's wife who is also an eshes ish, then Rabbi Yehuda is using the words eres avichahi to say. To say that he's chayev only because she's his father's wife and not because she's an eshes ish. Whereas the chachamim don't hold of those miyotim, and therefore they say that he'd be chayev on all the possible grounds. Okay. So the Gemara continues. V'rabbanan, what about according to the Chachamim, Oynash, where are they learning? We say there's an azhara, there's a warning to not have relations with his father's wife after his father died. But where do we see the Oynash? Where do we see that Skila applies in that case as well? B'shleimah Rabbi Yehuda, ma'isila b'gzeira shava. Now Rabbi Yehuda, there's no problem because he uses his gzeira shava that he did before, and therefore he says the same way as you have by the Oynash, the same way as by the azhara. El Rabbanan Menolahu, but according to the Chachamim, they didn't hold of that Gzeira Shava because they used the words Ervas Avicha and Ervas Aviv for different Limudim Menolahu. So where are they getting that if his father died and the son commits Znus with the father's wife after the father died that he's still Chayiv Skila? The answer is Makila. The answer is Hahu Ervas Aviv Demapik Lo Rabbi Yehuda Amrilach. The answer is they're going to tell you Hahu Ervas Aviv Demapik Lo Rabbi Yehuda Gzeira Shava. The same words Ervas Aviv Gila, which Rabbi Yehuda is using for Gzeira Shava, Makila Inhu Lo Oynash De'eshes Aviv Lachamisa. They're using it to teach us that it applies even after the father died. Okay. One more point we need to discuss then, as far as this, for Rabbanan Oynash L'imoy She'ena Eishes Aviv Menolahu. How do we know, according to the Chachamim, that if it's mother who ne that if it's his mother who never was his father's wife because the father was ma'anis her or whatever, Menolahu? How do we know? Rabbi Yehuda again learned it from his Gzeira Shava. The Chachamim don't have that Gzeira Shava, so therefore, how are they learning that point? And the answer is Omer of Shisha Brede Rabidi Omer Kra, because the pasuk says Imchahi. Here's where we're using, according to the Chachamim, the words Imchahi, she is your mother. Meaning, I saw HaKos of the Imah Sheina Eshes Aviv, Ki Imah She Eshes Aviv. The Torah is saying that his mother, whether she's a Imchahi, we learn from the word he, Bahava Yosahi, she has her status as Imcha, whether she was ever married to your father or not. So therefore, we learn from that, Asa HaKosav Le'ima She'ena Eishes Aviv, the Pasuk is considering his mother, who's not his father's wife, Ki'ima She'i Eishes Aviv, exactly the same as his mother, who is his father's wife, and either way, there's the Oynash of Skila involved over there. So ultimately, as far as the actual dinim, then the dinim are as follows. Everybody agrees that his mother is also to him, and that there's skila involved, whether she was his father's wife or whether or not. Rabbi Yehuda learns that from Gzeira Shava. The Chum learn it from the word imchahi. Everybody agrees also that a father's wife is also to him, whether the father is alive or not. The Chachamim learn that from the words ervas avichahi, and Rabbi Yehuda learns it from his Gzeira Shava. As far as now the nafkaminas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda are strictly as far as the number of punishments, the number of isurim, and therefore the number of chatois. So if it was his father's wife, so if it was his father's wife who's also still married to his father, according to the Chachamim, two chatois, according to Rabbi Yehuda, only one. If it was his mother who also was his father's wife, then according to the Chachamim, two chatois, one for his mother, one for his father's wife, according to Rabbi Yehuda, only one for his fact that she's his mother. And if he committed Mishkav Zachor with his father, then we have two possibilities within Rabbi Yehuda. Would he say that in that case he's chayev only one, or would we say that in that case Rabbi Yehuda uses a Kal V'Chomer to say that he's chayev two? Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said Abba Kalosei Chulo. The Mishnah had mentioned a case where he has relations with his daughter-in-law, where there we said he's chayev because she's his daughter-in-law and also because she's a married woman. So the Gemara asks, V'lechayev nami mishum eishes b'noi? Why don't we say, after all, the Loshon HaPasuk is Eres Kalos Chaloi Segale, do not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. Eishes bin Chahi, she is your son's wife. Loi segala ervasa, don't uncover her nakedness. So it sounds like there's two lavim, one for daughter-in-law and one for his father and one for his son's wife. But Abaya says they're not actually two different Yisurim. The pasuk begins by calling her kalosai and ends with eshes b'noi, loy malach, to tell you zuhi kalosai, zuhi eshes b'noi. You should realize that it's actually the same thing. Those are two different words for the same thing. And so why does it repeat it? Is to teach us that it applies even after the son died. So that is that takes care of the azhara. As far as the onesh, Tosfos points out that we have gzeira shava, because since it says dmehem bum in this case, and we see by eshes ovid it also said dmehem bum. So since we just established in the previous piece of Gemara that eshes ov applies after the father dies, then kalosa, the daughter-in-law, also applies after the son dies as well, even though she's not actually his daughter-in-law anymore, but nevertheless she was his daughter-in-law. And therefore we learn from that. That's according to Tosfos. That's according to Rashi and Tosfos. The Ramban disagrees with that and says for that you don't really need a pasuk for that. Rather, the words Eishes bin Chahi is explaining. In other words, you have to understand what the word Kalosai means. You would think otherwise, Kala could conceivably mean what we think of as a Kala, Chosin and Kala. So in other words, when she newly got married, you wouldn't know that it means even after they've been married, even after they've been fully married and living together for a while, then you wouldn't know that, and therefore the pasuk needs to say Eishes bin Chahi, that she is your son's wife, and therefore, in other words, that it applies across the board, even though the son is no longer living. In fact, there was a point in that actually. When you get down to it, when one of the Mephoshim points out, when it comes to a father, after all, when it comes to a father's wife, you can distinguish. It's possible for a woman to be a father's wife and not be your mother, as we discussed in the previous sugya. But by definition, your son's wife is your daughter-in-law. Therefore, Abaya is explaining that they're not two separate isurim. It's exactly the same thing, and it applies even after the son has died. Okay. Mishnah continues going through the list of people that we learned in the previous Mishnah. We had the list of 18 cases where a person gets skila. So we went through the details of a couple of them. So now let's go through more. The Mishnah continues. Habala schur, a man has relations with another man. By the way, Rashi on Amud Beis points out an interesting linguistic point. The word zachar means a man. The word zachur actually means the orifice, the hole in which bia takes place with a man. So in other words, Rashi says, for example, later on, we're going to have an expression on Amud Beis, habala zachur, v'hevi zachur olav. You can't say v'hevi zachur olav, because by definition, the zachur of the other person is not involved in this. So here we're saying habala zachur means he actually has relations by using the zchur, by using the whole of the zachar that he's using for this purpose. Va'ala behema, or he has relations with a behema. Va'isha mevias a behema aleha, and we said a woman who mates with an animal. So all of those things, but skila, all of those cases, they're chayiv skila, and in the case of the animal is chayiv skila as well. So the Mishnah asks him, adam chata behema machata. The person did something wrong, but what did the animal do wrong that it should be chayiv skila? And the point is that the Ran points out that in the Mishnah we were talking about also, the previous Mishnah had mentioned a couple of cases. There was a case where a man commits bestiality with the animal, so the man is the active one and the animal is passive. So the question is, in that case and all the other cases, what did the animal do wrong? Mela, in other words, in a way you could say with a woman that we're talking about over here in On Mishnah, fine, you could say the animal was the active partner after all, maybe therefore you could say, but it also includes cases where the animal is completely passive, so what did it do wrong? The reason is because a person stumbled in Avera through that animal, and therefore the animal has to be put to death. Therefore the animal has to be given skila because a person was brought to an Avera through it. Another reason, you don't want this animal to be walking around in the marketplace. And people are going to say, Zuhi Shnisko Pliny Al Yada, this is the animal that Pliny was given skila because of it. In other words, we want to still salvage the guy's dignity as much as possible, that it shouldn't be people are going to continue talking about it every time they see this animal. Okay. The Gemara says, Zachar Menolon, where do we know from the pasuk that having relations with a Zachar is Chayef Skila? So the Tanan Abanan, we learn in a Braisa. The pasuk says, Again, let's quote the pasuk in full, and then the Gemara is going to darshan it phrase by phrase. Ve'ish asher yishkav es zocher, a man who lies with another man, mishkavei isha, in the lyings of a woman. Te'eva osu shneim, they've both done something disgusting. Mois yumasu, they're both put to death. Dmehem bam, their blood is on them, which we established before. Dmehem bam means skila. So let's darshan phrase by phrase. Ish praplish cotton. The word ish comes to exclude where the active partner was a cotton. So again, as we've been learning several times, the point is that again, if he's below nine, it's not considered bia in halacha at all. But even if he's above nine, even if he's above nine, where therefore the nishkav, the one whom he's doing it to, is going to be chayiv misa, as long as, of course, as long as it was berotzen, as long as it was edim v'asra and the whole nine yards. Nevertheless, the cotton is still not chayiv misa because he's a cotton. When it says asher yishkav es zocher, it says that he lies together with a zocher. Now it doesn't. Now there, it doesn't say the word. Now there, it doesn't say the word asher yishkav es ish. Here it refers to lying with a zocher, implying therefore bein. Excuse me. Bein gadol bein katan, implying that the chiyuv skila for mishkav zacher applies whether the receiving one, the nishkav, as the Gemara is going to call him later on, is a gadol or a katan. Now we're going to qualify that later in the Gemara. There's different ages as far as a katan for this purpose, but the point is, in other words, that the shoychev we're saying is not chayiv misa unless he's a certain age. But if an adult, if a boy bar mitzvah or older is the active one, and the receiving one is a katan, then we're saying that he's the older one is still going to be chayiv misa. Then the pasuk continue, and the point is, in other words, that if the shoychev was so if the shoychev was less than nine, then the nishkav, even if he's a gadol, is potter. But the Sefer Yireim and the Ran point out that no, if the shoychev, if the active one, was 9 years old, where it's considered bia, then the gadol would be chayiv misa. So we're saying that the recipient doesn't have to be a gadol. He can be a katan, and the gadol who did it to him is still chayiv misa. The pasuk continues, mishkevei isha, the lyings of a woman. We learn from that, magid l'cha akosiv, sheshnei mishkoves v'isha. We learn from that that there's two possible things that are considered lyings, two things that are considered having relations with a woman, kedauka and shaloi kedauka. Because by a man, there's only the one, shaloi kedauka, and the pasuk is calling it mishkevei isha in the plural, implying, in other words, that by a woman, there would be, where there are two available things, kedauka and shaloi kedauka, both of them are equally considered bia, for almost all purposes in halacha. For example, that when we say kedushei bia would work with either one of them, yibum would work with either one of them, either one there's chi of misa or chatas, etc. Next, the pasuk says mois yumasu, they are put to death. That means beskila. So again, that means beskila. Ata oimer beskila. You're saying skila. How do you know that it means? I skipped a line. Omer Rabbi Shmuel hareza bolalamed v'nimsa lamed. So Rabbi Shmuel says, look at this. You have this pasuk over here. It sounds like the pasuk is coming to teach you something, but actually, from the pasuk, we're learning. It sounds like we're learning something from the pasuk about Mishkav Zohar, even though it's Bia Shaloi Kedarka, that nevertheless he's Chayiv and Nimtza Lomed, and it comes out that actually the pasuk is teaching you about something else about Mishkavei Isha. Because, of course, in other words, by a Zohar, there is only the one place available. So, by definition, any Mishkavei Zohar is going to be, any Mishkav Zohar is going to be using that hole. Nevertheless, since the Torah takes the time to write over here Mishkavei Isha, then we learn from it this point that we just said that by an isha there are two possibilities, and then from there we learn that with a woman shaloi kedarka he would be chayev. The Gemara continues. Mois yumasu means beskila. Ata oimer beskila ena elabachas b'kol misas hamuras b'torah. Maybe it means that maybe it means one of the other misses. No, again we have the same gzeira shava that we've learned several times. Nemakan dmeyem bum, but nemak ba'ovid only dmeyem bum. Malahalan beskila afkan beskila. So therefore we see that mishkav zocher is chayev skila. Oynesh shamayinu, so far the Braisa says, we see the oynesh, we see the punishment of skila, as hora minayin, but where is the warning in the Torah not to? Again, we have the rule, loy onash elim ken hizir, in order to give a punishment, there has to have previously been a warning. Now, Tosfos points out further on the Amud, the Gemara is going to point out a Gzeirah Shavah, that this Gzeirah Shavah of Dmehim Bam, the Gemara is going to point out in a different context that sometimes we see that when we can learn a Gzeirah Shavah from the Onesh to the Azhara. But here the Gemara is not understanding, here the Gemara is not assuming that it should be like that, that we should be able to use the same Gzeirah Shavah that teaches about us about the punishment. That we should be able to learn the warning from it as well. The Gemara is not assuming that you can't do that. You can't use a Gzeirah Shavah for that kind of purpose to learn an Azhara from an Oynish. So where's the Azhara? Talmud Loma Vas Zachol Sishka Mishka Veisha Ta'evahi in Parshas Achrei. Most again with all the other Arayas, it says don't lie with a male the way you do with the lyings of a woman Ta'evahi because it's a disgusting thing. So there's the clear issue in the Torah against doing this. So Lamadnu Azhara L'Shoichev. So far, that covers the Azhara to the active partner, because Lo Sishkav Mishkeve Isha implies that you, a Zohar, should not do this to another Zohar. L'Nishka Azhara L'Nishkav Minayin. Where do we see that there is also an Azhara, a warning for the Nishkav, for the receiving partner? So for that we have Talmud. So Talmud Loima. There we have a different pasuk Now, a point is, Rashi explains elsewhere in Shas. The question is, I mean, let's say, for example, we talked before about a mother or a daughter-in-law or whatever, all the different arayas. You usually don't need two different isurim for them. Once you have an isur, for example, a man's not allowed to have relations with his mother, then it also includes the mother is not allowed to allow her son to have relations with her. You don't need a separate isur for that. Why all of a sudden over here is the Gemara bothered by that you should need a separate azhara for the shoichiv and the nishkav? And Rashi explains basically because in the case of a man and a woman, each of them is getting pleasure from it as well. So therefore, there's no reason that we should have to have separate isurim. But over here, the shoichev is having pleasure, the nishkav is not, and therefore we need a separate. Therefore, the Gemara is looking for a separate isur for where it says that there should be an isur on the nishkav as well. So Talmud Loma lo yekodesh mibnei Yisrael. Pasuk says later on in Parshas Ki Seitze, it says that there should not be a Kodesh among Bnei Yisrael. Kodesh means someone who's available for Mishkav Zohar, so someone who's available to be a receiver for that. And how do we know that Kodesh means that? The Omer, because we have a posik in Melachim that describes in the times of some of the wicked kings of Yehuda, and in particular in the time of Rechavam, the first king after the Aseres HaShavatim split off from Malchus Yehuda. The first couple of years, it says Malchus Yehuda was doing good, but then they started doing Averis. And the posik says Vegam Kodesh Hoya Ba'aretz. There was also Kodesh in the land. Also Kecholat Ta'eves HaGoyim Ashahodesh VeGoyim. They were doing all the same kinds of disgusting things that the Knanim, whom Hashem had dispossessed from Bnei Yisrael, had been doing earlier. So we see from that, since the pasuk says they were doing like the disgusting things that the Goyim did, and by Mishkav Zohar also it says in the pasuk Te'evahi, so therefore we understand that it means that the Kodesh Hoya Ba'aretz was also this kind of thing as well, that there was Mishkav Zohar going on. And since it says lo yia kodesh mibnei Yisrael, then we understand that that's what a kodesh is, somebody available for Mishkav Zohar. So putting that all together, therefore, that teaches us that there is an azhara for the shoichev, for the nishkav as well. The shoichev we're learning from Ves Zachor le Sishkav Mishkav Eisha, and the nishkav says Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that the nishkav we're learning from lo yia kodesh. And how does he know the definition of Kodesh is by comparing this point about the word Te'eva. A number of Mephoshim deal in some detail with details of this. If we're saying that we learn Te'eva Balaya Kodesh from Te'eva of Mishkav Zohar, so why don't we just say that we learn Te'eva from one to the other? It says Te'eva by the Azhara and it says Te'eva by the Onish. And once we've established that the Onish applies to both of them, then we should say the word Te'eva also means both of them. And then he doesn't need Loya Kodesh in the first place. The point is, in other words, that Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Shmuel is not so much making a gzeira shava, but Rabbi Shmuel is explaining the definition of lo yakodesh is talking about is talking about mishkav zochur and clarifies that using the pasuk in Malachim, and therefore so it means in other words that so we learn the azhara from that. We instead of learning and then instead of as we said before, you can't really learn an azhara necessarily. So an azhara you can learn from a gzeira shava, but Rabbi Shmuel is not doing that way because Rabbi Shmuel didn't have the gzeira shava for that. So therefore, he has to use the words. He has to use the words. The Lo Yakodesh to be teaching us about the Nishkav. Okay, that was according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Oimer Ein Tzorich. Rabbi Akiva says you don't need that limud. You don't need the pasuk Lo Yakodesh. In fact, Rabbi Akiva is going to say that the word Lo Yakodesh is teaching us a different din. Rashi mentions on the pasuk that it means, among other things, that an eved Knani is not allowed to have relations with a Bas Yisrael or vice versa. So Rabbi Akiva Oimer Ein Tzorich. Harei Hu Oimer Vesachol Lo Sishkav. Given that the pasuk says, "Don't lie with a man," Sishkav is an active form, which means you shouldn't be the active one. But also Kribei Lo Sishochev. We can also read the word with different nekudas as if it said Sishochev. You should not be lain with, which would be the azhara for the which would be the azhara for the nishkav who is being lain with, who is being the receiving partner. Now, a couple of the Rishonim point out, the Yad Ramah, the Ran, point out that at the beginning of the Masechta, we learned that Rabbi Akiva is actually one of the ones who holds Yesh Em LaMikra. We have to go strictly according to the way that the word is actually read. Whereas over here he seems to be saying that you can read the word Tishkav as if it said Tishachev, which would be Yesh Em LaMasorah. But we said before that Rabbi Akiva holds Yesh Em LaMikra. So they explain it's not really that he's rereading the pasuk, it's rather that he's saying the word lo sishkav automatically implies both. The word lo sishkav automatically implies it means, in other words, that it means automatically when it's saying you can't be active, then you can't be passive either. You can it's more a logical thing. And the Ran brings in this connection we find by the daughters of Lot, where the older one says to the younger one, Hein shachavti emesh esavi, I lay with my father yesterday, and she was by definition the passive one, and we see that can still be called shachavti. Okay. So Rabbi Akiva says you learn it from the very pasuk lois sishkav, which can also be read as if it was lois sishachev. Okay. So that takes care of the zohar. Behema manolon. What about when it comes to a behema? How do we know also that? So let's work out the azhara and the onesh for people who have relations with animals. So again, the Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a pasuk, and here also let's quote the pasuk in full. The isha shigitin shchavti bebehema, a man who puts his lying with an animal, mois yumas, he's put to death. Ve'asa behema ta'aroigu, and the animal you should also kill. So again, ish prat l'katan. So again, ish means as opposed to a katan that he's not chayiv misa. Ashigitin shchavti bebehema, that he lies with the animal, that he's the active partner with an animal. Bein gdola bein ktana, that applies whether the animal is an adult animal or even a baby animal. Unlike with a person, where we said before there can be a difference of the age of the ages, with an animal there's no distinction. So in other words, the point is that Orach HaNer explains before when we talked about two men or a man and a boy, the Ran had understood before that it means that if we talked about before that if the child who's the active one is below nine, then the gadol is not getting missa. So the point is, by an animal, there's no such distinction. Even if the animal is below the age where it would normally have a relation, then nevertheless the man is still chayev. And it means also, therefore, if a man is being the active one with the animal, then also the animal is, then he and the animal are chayiv misa, whether the animal is an adult or a baby animal. Next, the Braisa continues, Mois yumas b'skila, ato ima b'skila, yinele b'achas b'chom misa samuris b'atorah. So the same gzera shava, so now we have a different gzera shava. Nemer kan taharoigu, the pasuk says that you should kill the animal, v'nemer lahalem ki horeg targenu, by a mesis to avodah zarah, the pasuk says that you should kill him. Mala halan beskila, and therefore, just like by a mesis, he's chayev skila, as the pasuk in fact says clearly by the mesis of skalte ba'avonim v'mes afkan beskila. Therefore, we learn by the gzeira shava from the word taharoig, taharoigu, that we learn gzeira shava, and say that it means that he gets skila. To be sure, the word taharoigu is referring to the animal, not to the person, but nevertheless, the. Nevertheless, the Gemara is saying that that you have the same kind of thing as with a the same kind of thing as with a with a woman. The pasuk also says v'asa behema taharoigu, even though by definition the animal is the active one. So therefore, we learn from that over here also that the same thing the man himself is chayiv skila as well because he's the active one. Okay. As lamanu, that takes care of the punishment for the shoychev, where he's the active one with the animal. Onish lanishkav minolon. How do we know the same onish is if a man caused an animal to have relations with him? So therefore, Talmud lema called shoychev and behema mois yumas. You have another pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that says anyone who lies with an animal is put to death. Im eina inan l'shoychev. Now you don't need it to teach us about the shoychev because that you already have the pasuk in Parshas Achrei Mois and Kedoshim for that. So therefore, it's Tzneu Inyan L'Nishkav. So therefore, instead, you can use it to teach us about the Nishkav. And again, the idea would be, like we said before, the Shoychev and the Nishkav are both Chayiv Misa. Okay, Lamanu Onish ben the Shoychev ben the Nishkav. That covers the punishment for the man with the animal, whether he's the Shoychev or the Nishkav. Azhara Minayin. How do we know the Azhara? Where's the warning to not be a Shoychev or a Nishkav with an animal? Talmud Lema. Therefore, the pasuk says in Achrei Mos, over Chol Behema lo sit in Shchov to Chol Tamava. Do not put your lying with any animal to become Tomei with it. Lamanu Azhara. That covers the Shoychev because he's the one Lois Sitin, do not put, implying don't be the active partner. Lanishkav Minayin. How do we know that the Nishkav is also included? Talmud Lema, Lo Yeh Kodesh Mimnei Yisrael. Therefore, we have again the pasuk that we quoted before. There should not be a Kodesh among the Jewish people. Va'omer V'gam Kodesh Hayu Ba'aretz. And we had the pasuk from Malachim clarifying before what Kodesh is, where it used the word Chol Toyev Es HaGoyim. They did like all the disgusting things that the Goyim did, which includes also the animal, because the animal was also mentioned among the Arayas over there. So Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So again, Rabbi Shmuel learns that's where you learn from that the Nishkav with an animal is Chayev Misa. Rabbi Akiva Oimei and Etzorech, and again, Rabbi Akiva says you don't really need that. Harehu Oimei Lo Sit in Shchav Tuchah. The pasuk says, "Do not place your lying," which again we can learn similar to before. Lo Sit in Shchivascha. Do not place your being lain with. In other words, the word Shchiva applies to both the active and the passive one. Just as we said before, for example, you have the pasuk from Benois Loit. So therefore, yes, we can learn according to Rabbi Akiva that it applies across the board to both of them, the Shoychev or the Nishkav. Tosfos points out in this connection that by the zohar, it clearly by the two zchorim, it clearly says the word te'eva by the animal. It doesn't explicitly say te'eva by it, but afterwards the pasuk continues v'chol behema, and the vav ties it together. So therefore, it means that te'eva applies to that as well, and therefore Rabbi Shmuel can learn the same thing as he learned before that v'gam kodesh hayu ba'aretz also k'chol te'eva es hagoyim. We can learn from that an animal is also included in Vegam Kodesh Hoya Ba'aretz. And Rabbi Akiva says you don't need to, because anyway, Lo Sitin Shchav Techa, we can douse in as Lo Sitin Shchivascha, because it means both active and passive. Well, the Gemara is going to point out a number of nafka minas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva's opinions. Omer Rababohu, Ledivir Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Shmuel, chayev, so the divrei Rabbi Shmuel, sorry, habaal aschur v'hevi al of zachar. If a person then had relations as the active one with a zachur, and also he then was the passive one with a zachar, here is where Rashi points out that zachur and zachar are two different things. Zachar means a male, zachur means the hole that is used for having relations with a passive male. So now, if it was both behelam echad, so that he didn't know that such things are also, and he was both the active and the passive. The divrei Rabbi Shmuel chayev shtayim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, he would now be chayev for two chatois because there are two different psukim. One ve'es zocho lo sishkav, and the other one lo yia kodesh b'bnei Yisrael. So two different isurim, two different chatois. Choda milo sishkav v'choda milo yia kodesh. The divrei Rabbi Akiva in a chayv ala achas, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who learns from the fact that it says lois sishkav, and we can read it as if it said lois sishochiv in a chayv ala achas, and it comes out according to Rabbi Akiva, he would be chayv only one chatas. Tosfos actually points out that that actually they are different bias. So therefore, so maybe he should be chai of two different ones anyway. But Tosfos discusses on the basis of a Gemara in Chrysos the possibilities that maybe in fact that maybe in fact according to Rabbi Akiva, since you only have one pasuk, then in fact it would be only one. And also you have an opinion over there that says that that says that even if they are different bodies, even if they're different gufim or different bias, then nevertheless it could still all be counted as one. Okay, another example, Habala Behema Vahabi Behema Olav. What happens if, continues Rabbi Bohu, what about if he were to have relations as the active partner with an animal and then brought an animal on him as the that he was the passive one and was also Behela Mechad? Omer Rabbi Bohu, so Rabbi Bohu says the same thing. I skipped a line over there. So according to Rabbi Bohu, he would have a Ladivir Rabbi Akiva, Eina Chayv al Achas Loisishkav Loisishachiv Chodehi, because Loisishkav and Loisishachiv is the same pasuk. We're just learning it in two different ways, and therefore according to Rabbi Akiva, it would be only one lav. Similarly, Habala Behema Behemi Behema Olav, Omer Rabbi Bohu, Ladivir Rabbi Shmuel Chayv Shnayim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, he'd be Chayv two Chatois, Chodah Miloisitin Shchav Techav Chodah Miloyakodesh, because there's two different psukim. Ladivir Rabbi Akiva in Chayv al Achas, and according to Rabbi Akiva, he'd be Chayv only one Chatas, Shchav Techav Shchivos Chachas Chodahi, because again, we're learning it from the same Pasuk, we're just punctuating the words in the Pasuk differently. That's according to Rabbi Bohu. Abaya Omer, Abaya says no. Afilo the divrei Rabbi Shmuel nami ein chayv al achas. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, when it comes to the animal, he'd be chayv only one. Because Abaya says it's one thing by the zochar and the zchur, fine, they're different psukim. But when it comes to the animal, dechik siv lo yekodesh begavri ksiv. Because the pasuk lo yekodesh, Abaya says, is not actually referring to znus with an animal at all, but only znus with people. The expression is, and the Gemara has elsewhere the expression, ein znus labahema. Relations with an animal are not called znus in halacha. It's also obviously in the zchi of misa involved, but it's not considered znus. Elsewhere, the Gemara learns it out from the fact that the pasuk said that the pasuk mentions esnan zoino mechir kelev, implying that there's no such thing there's no such thing as esnan kelev. There's no such thing. Esnan is the fee that a person pays as zoina to have relations with her, and it doesn't say that there's an issue of esnan kelev. And in fact it's not. We learn from that ein znus labehema, which has implications in other areas of halacha. The point being, therefore, Abaya says, so therefore you can't say v'kam kodesh, therefore you can't say lo yekodesh is that we can't say that from lo yekodesh we're learning that the person is chayev for having relations, for being had relations with an animal. So according to Abaya, you have to say that according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's only one chiyuv. Well, the question is, Ela Rabbi Shmuel Azhara L'Nishka V'Noleh. Well, then we're back to the question, according to Rabbi Shmuel, where does he learn an Azhara for the Nishkav? Before we said that he learned from Lo Yekodesh. Now Abaya is disagreeing with that Darasha. Now, how can Abaya disagree with Rabbi Shmuel? Rashi explains, because Abaya would say that really Rabbi Shmuel is not actually learning from there. He's only doing it l'ravcha de milse. He's only doing it in order to have like an easier way of understanding it. But really, Rabbi Shmuel is not actually learning it from that, because again, like Abaya says, ein znus l'behema. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel necessarily has to have a different way of learning it. So where is he learning it from? The answer is nafkalei mikol sheichav behema mois yumas. He learns it from the pasuk that we quoted before from Parashas Mishpatim. Anyone who lies with an animal is put to death. Im ena inyan l'sheichav. Now again, we don't need it for the sheichav because we have the pasuk isha sheyitin shchavdei tnei inyan l'nishkav. Then the pasuk is using it. Then the pasuk is referring to the nishkav. Va'apke rachmana l'nishkav b'loshin sheichav. So then, why does it say sheichav, which suggests the active form? So therefore, Abaya explains, according to Rabbi Shmuel, because it teaches us ma sheichev onash v'hizir, just like when it comes to the sheichev, when he's acting as the active one with the animal, we have both an onash and we have a warning in the pasuk, because the pasuk says b'chol behema loisitin shchav t'chol, which is the warning, and v'isha sheyitin shchav to behema mois yumas, which is the punishment. Afkan. Afnishkav onash v'hizir. The same way, we can learn the same thing, that there's not only a penalty but also a warning for the nishkav. So in other words, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we actually don't need the pasuk v'gam kod. We actually don't need the pasuk lo yekodesh at all. He only used the word. He only used the word. He only used the pasuk la yakadosh just to make it to make it easier to understand. But really, he's not actually learning from that. L'ravcha de milsa, he was only using an ikar azhara. Is not really from there, but rather from kol shoychev and behema mois yumas, and the fact that it was phrased in the with using the word shoychev. So therefore, so Abaye says, when it was with an animal, even Rabbi Shmuel would have to agree that there's only one chatas, because there's only one pasuk from which we learn from which we learn the shoychev and the nishkav. We have a second pasuk, but the second pasuk is just clarifying for us that the nishkav is also chayev. Meanwhile, according to Rabbi Abahu, Tosfos points out, Rabbi Abahu would say the reason why it says kol shoychev and behema, that teaches us that the animal, when it's being judged by Beis Din, has to be judged by 23, just like the person. Okay. Now the Gemara continues. Aval, what about if all in one? What about if all in one helamechad? He had relations with a male, he being the active one, and then he was the passive one with the male, and then he was then he had relations with an animal as the active one, and then he had relations with an animal as a passive one, and all of that was behelamechad. Bein l'Rabbahu, bein l'Abaya. Then there's no machlokas between. I skipped a whole part over here. Sorry, I keep on doing that. I should really get myself a pointer or something. Okay, Omer Abahu. So now another case. Hanirbala zochav, hanirbala behema. What about? So far we discussed what would happen. So far we said what about if he was active and passive with a man, behelamechad. So again, according to Abahu, Rabbi Shmuel would hold that there's two chatoris, and Rabbi Akiva would hold only one. Active and passive with an animal. Rabbi Avohu says that Rabbi Shmuel would also be Mechayev two and Rabbi Akiva only one. And Abaya argues that no, even Rabbi Shmuel would be Mechayev only one. How about Hanirbal Azochav Hanirbal Behema? What about if he was the passive one with a Zocher and the passive one with a Behema, and it was all Behelamechad? According to Rabbi Akiva, he'll be chayev. Here we have the other way around. According to Rabbi Akiva, he's going to be chayev too. Chodah malo sishka v'chodah milo sitin shchovtecha, because there's two different psukim. The Divrei Rabbi Shmuel and chayev ala achas. Whereas according to Rabbi Shmuel, we would say he's chayev only one. Idi lo yakodeshu, because Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Bohu, is learning both of them from the same pasuk lo yakodesh. Because again, according to Rabbi Bohu, we said that they are they it's all learned from the according to Rabbi Shmuel in the Braisa before. He learned both of them, the passive one by a man and the passive one by an animal. He's learning from Lo Yekodesh. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it would be only one chatas. Abaya Omer, Afilo L'Divrei Rabbi Shmuel Nami Chayev Shtayim. Again, Abaya disagrees and says even Rabbi Shmuel would be Mechayev too, because Dichtiv Kol Sheikhav Mehema Mois Yumas. The pasuk says anyone who lies with an animal is put to death. That pasuk from Parshas Mishpatim. V'im Eina Inu L'Sheikhav. And as we just said, given that it's not needed to teach us about the Sheikhav, because we have a different pasuk for that, Tineu Inu L'Nishkav. Then it refers to the Nishkav. V'apki Rachmona L'Sheikhav B'in L'Nishkav B'loshen Sheikhav. And again, even though we're talking about he's passive, the Torah is treating it, is talking as though he's the active one. Teach us mas sheichav onash v'hizir af nishkav onash v'hizir, to teach us that by the nishkav as well, there's both a warning and a punishment. So again, according to Abaya's understanding of Rabbi Shmuel, there are in fact two different isurim over here, and therefore even Rabbi Shmuel would have to agree that it's two. Aval, but now. If he was active and passive with a male, and active and passive with an animal, and it was all behelamechod, bein l'rabbahu, bein l'abaya, l'rabishmol, chayiv sholosh, l'rabakiv, chayiv shtayim. Then both l'rabbahu and abaya would have to agree that according to l'rabishmol, he would be chayiv three chatois, one for being the active one with the zacher, one for being the passive one with the zacher, and the third one for being with the animal. because, in other words, according to Rabbi Bahu, we would say that because that would work according to both Rabbi Bahu and Abaya, because according to Rabbi Bahu, we don't have a fourth one, because according to him, you're learning the passive one with the animal, the nirba for the animal, and you're learning the nirba from the zacher from the same pasuk according to Rabbi Shmuel, and according to Abaya because the two with the animal, reveya and nirba, active and passive, we're learning from the same pasuk. So according to both of them, it would come out that according to Rabbi Shmuel, there would be three. Akiva, Chayiv Shtayim, and according to Rabbi Akiva, there would be two. One for the man, one for the animal. Each one of them, each one of them, Rabbi Akiva is learning the active and the passive from the same pasuk. So therefore, they would both have to agree that there would be only two chatois in either of these cases. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow with this topic, with the topic of Zohar and Behema and all of that. That's the
Shkayach.
Shkayach, everyone.